is the July 26, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum, and I'm going to ask the Secretary, R. Paul Martin, to take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena? Chris Corey?
Here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Kim Kaufman?
Here.
Julia Kennard?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden? Sean Kelly McPherson?
I am here.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Okay, that's nine. You got a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. All right, we will now go to adopt the agenda. I will read the agenda. It begins with some items we've already completed. Number one, convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, the chair's announcements for 2 minutes. Number five, the minutes, 3 minutes. Number six, report from executive director, if available, 10 minutes. Number seven, report from the CFO, 10 minutes. Number eight, review of the May and June financials. Number nine, motion to update Pacifica transaction limits. See Appendix A, Beth Von Gunten, 20 minutes. Number 10, non-disclosure agreements. See Appendix B, 20 minutes. Number 11, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23, 5 minutes, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. And R. Paul, I want to make a little addition here. I see that I did not put a time on reviewing the May and June financials. Why don't we put 40 minutes on that?
Okay.
And we'll see how that goes. Of course, we'll play that by ear.
Okay, let me get the right keys pressed. Okay, R. Paul.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of things. One, we should have as the real number 12, new business.
Ah, yes.
We may
Is
not
there new
get
business?
To it, but we should really just always have new business. It's a pro forma thing. Okay. And the other thing is, if nobody objects, I'm going to cut out C Appendix A and C Appendix B from the minutes, okay?
All right.
Because that'll make it easier and more coherent. Okay, so that's fine. All right, that's all I have for this.
A question, R. Paul, does that mean the Appendix A and B will not appear in the agenda as recorded in the minutes, or will that still be there?
Well, if we get, like, one of them is a motion, right? It's a motion,
yep.
Is a motion. And if we get to it, that'll go in. The non-disclosure agreement, do we want that in?
If I'd like that to be on the record somewhere. So
okay. All right.
Perhaps this
How
would be
this?
The place.
How about this? We can add it in. Let's see how to phrase that. Where is it? Oh, what item is that? Non-disclosure, 10. Well, if you want to, we can put those things in. I guess we got to do that then. So we'll put both appendices in there, and we'll just live with it. Okay.
Thank you. I realize that makes it a little more tricky for you as the secretary, but at least it's on the record.
Deal, but it's, you know. And I will take the dot away from Exhibit A, which shouldn't be there. Okay.
Very good. All right. Any other things, R. Paul? You good?
That's it for me.
Very good. Anyone else on the agenda? Let me just say that I'm going to move the agenda, and now we can discuss it.
do we want to add, a five-minute discussion on budgets, like when the stations are expecting their drafts to come to us?
I think that's number 11.
Okay, never mind then.
No worry. I'll make that part of the announcement, so I'm going to say a little something about that. Anything else? Is there any objection to the agenda as adjusted, shall we say? Hearing none, we'll consider that adopted. And now we go to chair's announcements. For 2 minutes, shouldn't take that long. Tonight, we will review the May and June financials. The 2021 audit is underway. The CFO reports that George from Rogers has indicated that, quote, he feels completing the audit in its entirety by the end of this month is doable. I told him George and I will do everything possible to support them in making that happen. And it was Jorge from Rogers and George from NETA. We will also consider the motion on transaction limits that's been carried over from previous agendas. Appendix A, we will also review the previously distributed non-disclosure agreement and consent to use electronic transmission forms, Appendix B. And finally, a consensus is growing that our current priority should be to create fiscal year 23 budgets for all units rather than complete fiscal year 22 budgets for the National Office and KPFK, where revenue in those two units is still so uncertain. So that's something we'll discuss under number 11. There are no other new announcements. So, unless there are any questions.
Yes, that's good.
That will take us to number 5 minutes, our Paul.
Okay. One ordinary, one not so ordinary. I move that we approve the minutes. Of the June 14th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any objection to approving the minutes? Hearing none, we'll consider that done. Our Paul?
Okay, the next thing we have to make a decision. The next thing is an executive session set of draft minutes from December 14th of last year. And we get to decide here. Do we want to consider these now? If we do, we can't discuss the executive session confidential stuff. We could just say, and approve it. Or we could decide we don't want to tackle this until such time as we're having an executive session meeting. Who knows when that will happen? So I leave it up to the committee.
Our Paul, I will ask you, if there's no prohibition against approving minutes from a closed session in an open session. It's just discussing the content that would be a problem.
Right.
Everybody
right.
has seen the content, correct?
Well, I sent it out,
Okay, so everybody's had their chance. So why don't we ask if there's any objection to approving these minutes? And if there is, we can postpone it. And if there's not, everybody will remember that minutes are always subject to correction at a future date. And if anyone has anything going forward, we can discuss it in a future closed session that we have.
Mr. Chair, this is Mac on the stack.
Go ahead, Mac.
I have no objection, but were there to be a vote, I would abstain because I was not around back then.
Aha, well, I think that's appropriate then. Good for you. Very well.
I'm with Mac. I would abstain. I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay, well, the more we put it off, the more likely it is that nobody will have been at the meeting. So,
I think we might
go ahead.
So you might take a vote and just see what you got.
I think you're right.
And be done with it.
I agree. So,
well,
let's
see if anybody actually objects.
Yeah, right. That's what I've already asked that. Does anyone object to the approval of these minutes? Hearing none, I think it's unnecessary to record the people who were going to abstain because no one objected, correct?
Yeah.
Right, very good.
Yeah.
All right, then. Okay, this takes us to report from the executive director, if available. Stephanie, do you have a report? And if so, would you like to give it?
Yeah, I'll just make three little points. Kind of been focusing recently on a lot of grant opportunities. We applied, and all of this information or all the grant applications really have come from volunteers and staff members, and so that's greatly appreciated. We applied a little while ago. We haven't heard anything yet through the City of Los Angeles LA 2050 grant funding program, $50,000 for KPFT for general operating support with an emphasis on programming. So said that application was put in, but we haven't heard back from them yet. I'm currently working on another application for $50,000 from the DEW Foundation for KPFK for building improvements. That's due on the 1st. So hope to finish that within the next day. And then Beth sent today an email regarding FEMA's 2022 Hazard Mitigation Grant Program that deals with building infrastructure in communities and flood mitigation. So I'm just now starting to sort of research the paperwork associated with that because there's a few webinars that you need to be a part of in order to kind of get an overview of their fiscal year 22 funding opportunities. So I will participate in those to try to get a better idea of what they are looking for. And then started working with the staff and volunteers at KPFT, organizing or just kind of lending some insight on the capital campaign that they are planning. So we just had a meeting yesterday and are moving forward with that. So that's pretty much it on my side from the financial part.
Excellent. Thank you. Any questions for the executive director?
I
questions?
Do, Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Regarding the DEW Foundation, is that something that other stations could also get? I don't recall whether it was LA-based or not.
The foundation itself is not LA-based, but it's by invitation only, and the invitation was granted to KPFK based upon a relationship that the president of the board has with one of the staff members.
Okay.
Any other questions? Hearing none. Anything else you wanted to say, Stephanie?
No, there is not.
Very good. All right. That takes us to number 7, report from the CFO. Stephanie, we realize in a moment we're going to be going over the May and June financials. So these subjects will sort of merge. But do you have any general remarks outside of the May and June financials that you'd like to make?
No, I will go ahead and let Julia cover that. We discussed the...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was talking to Julia, Stephanie. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'll mute. So you said Stephanie.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My bad.
Just a few things. Big things that are going out on other than the financial statements. We are scheduled to have the audit presented next Monday, July 31st. Should I hear differently, I will let everyone know. But that is, as of today, that was still the plan for Monday. I'm starting on some tax return work this week. That needs to be finished and submitted by August 15th. Stephanie, I'll need to get with you about thinking about if there's a signature issue there. There might not be, but I think it might be me, but I just thought of that. But anyway, that tax return is due by August 15th. I'm also working on the July financials and plan on having them ready to go for the next NFC meeting, so there's no question about that. I'm also trying to focus as I'm working. I've got an open spreadsheet where I'm trying to brain dump and develop notes that'll help with the transition of work after September 30th. To whomever, is taking an ETA's place, whether that's an individual or a couple of individuals or another organization. But I really want to make sure everything is organized as possible and that there are notes that are helpful. As I was telling Stephanie earlier today, it's easy to type up instructions how to do something, but I always feel like it's the things that you don't anticipate, the problems that pop up, the weird situations that pop up, that I'd really like to document for the next person or crew so that they can pick things up a little bit faster. On that note, I do suggest that we look into a document management system to put into place. I will say I wasn't super excited about that, but the pandemic forced us into utilizing that. And wow, once I got used to it, it is fantastic. To not have papers floating around and there's an approval system in it, and it really is a great, it's not like Google. It's a real standalone document management system. So I think that there needs to be some conversation about that. Stephanie, I've talked about it. We just haven't had a chance to look into it yet, but I think that that would be something good for Pacifica as a whole. For a lot of documents that as we've learned, there's not really a great centralized place for everything. So that's pretty much it. I can talk about financials when you're ready.
Julia, could you just name that software that you're using now for the document management?
Well, NETA uses DocLink, and I'll be very honest, I had not used a document management system before I came to NETA. So I don't know if it's like too robust for what you need, or if there's something more affordable, or, but I do think that that's something that we need to look into.
Thank you.
I mean, you could even do it to where you could save all your minutes and stuff. I mean, just something. I mean, I know that certain people have it very organized. Like our Paul always seems to be able to find what I need. But I think there are other things that people look for, and it's like, where is it? So, but I'm meaning more from an accounting standpoint.
That's an excellent suggestion. Are there any questions for Julia on her report? Hearing none.
This is McFadden. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I just wasn't sure if I was muted or not muted on this.
If you spoke before now, you were muted because I didn't hear you before, but I do hear you now.
Okay. I didn't catch the name of the software that she mentioned. What was the name of the software package?
DocLinks.
DocLink. DocLink.
All right. Thank you.
And really the only, I will say two units use it. KPFK actually scans all of their stuff through that system, and we index it to how it needs to be stored. And then WBAI has started, there's a function where you can email to it, directly to it, and the person on the receiving end can index the documents, and that's what Berthold has been doing, what WBAI has been doing recently they just switched to that. So there are different ways to use it. You can print to it from your computer, you can email to it, or you can scan to it.
Hmm.
And then you can set up user access, you know.
Good.
Your requirement.
Sounds like something we've needed for a long time. As someone who's tried to find old documents and have to rely on people's email accounts, people who've been around a long time, that would be a good thing to have something everybody could access with proper credentials.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for Julie and or Stephanie, and that is in terms of replacing NETA. I don't know where the discussions are on that. Up to this point, I know that there's been some talk about trying to muddle on using internal resources for at least a period. Don't know what other explanations are being made. But let me just ask Stephanie first, and then I'll ask a follow-up. Stephanie, do you need any further authorization from the PNB to start looking into how to replace the various functions that NETA provides, payroll, HR, et cetera, accounting?
It was my understanding that the PNB needs, unless it's a motion that's going to be addressed on this upcoming meeting, I know I thought something had been on the agenda for a while, that the Personnel Search Committee was going to start that process. And I thought the Finance Committee, this one, was going to determine what was needed as far as the CFO replacement.
Do you need any more authorization to do what you need to do? Are you good?
I'm under the assumption that since these are fairly large positions, that the Personnel Search Committee or a search committee through the motion as approved by the National Office would start that process. I don't think that I have the ability to just hire an HR director or payroll person or a finance person.
Kim to the stack.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I mean, I think you can hire an HR person and a payroll person, but it has to be in your budget, and there's the rub. You know, number one. Number two, I believe in the bylaws, number one, we have to have a CFO. Number two, it is the PNB Personnel Committee who does the search for the CFO, and it would be the NFC who would do the other stuff. It's in the bylaws that I believe that the PNB, you know, does a search committee for ED and CFO. And that has been done before for previous EDs and CFOs. But the other stuff would, you know, I mean, we're most familiar with the actual processes that need to be populated here, you know, and that would be more likely thrown over to here. It's my opinion.
And in my agreement, I can't hire anybody. So I don't know if we want to have like an interim HR person or an interim, you know, I don't want to hire somebody that's just going to sit there and be an interim for the next 3 years.
Well, you know, we're going to have to look at all this and look at our budgets and you know, kind of play around with what we can do.
Yeah, I think we need to make sure that various components of our organization are not thinking that somebody else is working on this stuff. I think,
right,
Stephanie, you're certainly able to, you know, start looking around at things like payroll companies and, you know, where possible we could get some HR assistance, that sort of thing. We can talk to NETA about it. It may be that, you know, the PNB has to approve these things, and or the NFC, but you know, I think we should try to make a coordinated effort.
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry, who was that?
Susan on the staff.
Go ahead, Susan. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah. It has been clear to me that the role of the executive director is severely constrained by her employment agreement. And therefore, it is useful to have explicit authorization from the PNB to move forward. This conversation that we're having right now about whose job is what is another example of how difficult it is to achieve clear management of this organization. So therefore, I suggest, I mean, there is a motion before the PNB that I put forward that that charges the personnel committee with launching basically the CFO search and charges the NFC with identifying, you know, what the functions are and what the transitions need to be. But I think that the executive director, I mean, we can ask her to come forward with recommendations, but it needs to be under the aegis of the PNB authorizing and tasking her with that.
Yeah, I'm going to stack.
Were you done, Susan?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I agree with Susan, but I just want to add that, you know, these conversations will be a part of our budget discussions. You know, we can, you know, want to, you know, we've got to look at the numbers and what we can pay for. So it's all of a piece of that.
I'm going to jump in and say I agree with you, Kim. However, as long as it's part of the budget discussions and we don't wait until we can actually approve budgets, I think that's appropriate. And we will be talking later about when it's time to start looking at budgets for fiscal year 23. That's number 11 on our agenda here, but perhaps should say something about it now. You know, it seems futile. We did it last year, and it was to no avail to continue trying to. We already have a KPFA budget, which we're going to hopefully review at our next meeting. But after that, it seems futile to try and get a budget for KPFK when the revenues are still in such disarray. Same for the national office, really, with 4 out of the 5 stations paying central services irregularly, let's say 3 out of the 5 not paying at all. It's hard to do a budget, but I mean, I guess that's part of the hard work we have to do. How do we live on air? Well, we have to budget the air that we have. So we can be talking about that. And let's just front load the conversation with how much can we afford to pay for human resources and for payroll, and get that out the door first.
Kim to the stack.
Julia.
Go ahead, Kim. And who did I hear? Who else?
Julia, do you want to speak first? I mean, I just want to say that, you know, we're not going to have a balanced budget at KPFK, but we still have to pencil in what the numbers are, you know, what our expenses, known expenses that we can't avoid are, and try and pencil something in for revenue, and at least have that on paper. You know, we're not going to get balanced budgets, you know, not too many places, but we have to know those numbers.
I agree with that. I'm just saying I think we need to focus on the future rather than, you know, 23 rather than 22 at this point.
I am focusing on 23, but KPFK okay. is going to make a budget for 23, even if it's going to be a deficit budget.
I agree.
We have to have those numbers.
Right. We had no disagreement. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Anybody else?
Julia.
On this? Go ahead, Julia.
Just a couple of comments in no particular order. You're not replacing the payroll company. You'll maintain the payroll company, You just have to have someone who is processing the payroll. So I just wanted to clarify that. That would be an employee that processes the payroll. Or if you were to outsource to another organization like us. But it would be my recommendation at this point to Paylocity and not change your payroll company. I would not change that. It's just who is going to be assigned to processing it, like the individual who we have one person here who processes payroll every 2 weeks and that makes the changes and edits and all that stuff. And works with your staff and the majority, you know, the different specific people at each unit are very familiar with this person. Number two, I agree with budgets and all that stuff, and you need to know how much you can spend, and that's something that I need to look at as well. But we, at a minimum, need to focus on having, at a minimum, just an interim person who I can start training to make sure that this transition is smooth. If you started tomorrow looking for someone, either an organization or, you know, individuals, they're not going to be up and running by September 3rd and feeling like they're functioning smoothly. So that's my comment on that as far as trying to go through, you know, waiting until. Do we have P&B this week or is it next week?
No, we do have it this week.
Both. Mr. Chair, vote.
Okay. All right. So is it this week that they're voting on the funds, you know, your Susan's motion?
Yes.
Okay. But, yeah, that's my main thing is we need to not lose this August and September and not have someone that I can work with to help keep things going.
I'm going to put myself on the stack for a moment. And just to say that was the reason for my question. I heard you saying, you know, you need to work with people and you're trying to get everything set up so that the next person can take it on and it can go smoothly. And that's was what I was hoping my question would draw out. And that is, let's try and designate who internally is going to do this if we're going to live along with people internally, not even limp along, but if that's going to be our solution, let's identify those people as soon as possible so that they can engage with you and do that training or, you know, whatever you want to call it, sharing of information so that they can pick it up and run with it. And I just as another aside, I want to say I agree with you about Paylocity. I think we should stay with Paylocity, but it's that other person that does that other part of it that we need to get trained up, familiarized with how it goes. And, you know, again, like you said, let's not waste this little bit of time that we have before we're on our own. Let's utilize that well to get people in a position to do it.
And I'd just like to also follow up to what Susan said. Sort of a bystander as I see things that go on with positions being filled or whatever. I have to say, I'm confused by it as well. And so I was under the impression that Stephanie wasn't able to hire anyone or she still needed permission to do an interim, fill it as an interim position. So I just thank you, Susan, for acknowledging that you find it to be less than clear between, you know, Stephanie's contract versus what the bylaws might say or what committee members might think. It's not that clear.
May I also just add here as a point of information that Stephanie, you know, in her contract, the way I read her contract is that she's not supposed to do certain things on her own. She, you know, it doesn't mean she can't work on it. She can't come up with proposals or suggestions. It's just that the PNB needs to approve. That's the main thing. It's so I'm hoping that Stephanie will be an integral part of this process of searching out new people to do these things. But, of course, the personnel committee has to be involved in that as well. I mean, you know, just beating the bushes trying to get some candidates is something we can all participate in.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Susan.
Yeah, my experience as someone who's relatively new to the PNB is that it's easy to get punished for initiative. So I think it's good if the PNB faces up front what its responsibility is so it's absolutely clear, hence my motion. I suggest that the NFC, and I'm glad that you have brought up this conversation, it's very, very important, request that the ED and NEDA scope out the things that NEDA, the jobs that NEDA performs, and any recommendations such as keep the HR firm. That will be really important to us, and I think as we've seen in PNB meetings, other PNB members have very little understanding of all the things that NEDA does and think that there's an easy way to fix this. There isn't. And the faster that we as a board come to grips with what all these functions are and how hard it may be to figure out what are the ways to fill these gaps, we need to do this promptly. Let me mention one other thing, too, which is I'm not sure what internal resources there are. The person who has been mentioned frequently, I don't know if any authorization is required, is Markeisha Van Zandt, who is the
business
manager.
Hold on. Susan, we don't want to discuss individual people on this meeting.
Okay, got it.
You can make your point, but maybe you shouldn't now since you mentioned a name.
The point is that I understand that she may be, that there is someone who may be looked to as an important shared resource. And so, you know, I don't know, once again, what the way is that everybody searches out what these availabilities are, but those things need to be moving now. So if there is someone who needs to be, you know, performing more than one function in order to be able to be training with NEDA, that should happen sooner rather than later. And I don't know if the PNB or the NFC has any role in this or not.
Okay, well, I think obviously the NFC, the PNB will have a role in making final determinations about hiring. That is specifically the role of the PNB in this current period where we have a hiring freeze and where we have contracts for the ED being written, the EDs being written in such a way as their actions need the approval of the PNB. So we know that that's the context. And yet we also know that sometimes it takes the PNB a while to get moving. It's a lot of people, a lot of moving parts. So we could use the assistance of management to help make suggestions and point us in good directions. And again, that's part of why I brought this up, was to make sure that we utilize NETA's experience and knowledge of who within the organization can help us to best advantage and, you know, what directions we need to go if we need to go outside the organization. So I don't think we can go much further with this conversation without getting into personnel matters. So if we're ready, I think we're way over time for this report of 10 minutes from the CFO. Perhaps unless there's any other questions, we should move on to the review of the May and June financials. Any other questions?
I'm sorry. Yeah, this is Kim. I kept saying Kim to the stack, and I was on mute. I have a question.
No worry. Go ahead, Kim. Go ahead.
Two things. The NFC can certainly make educated recommendations to the PNB, period. You know, we're not the boss of anything, but we can make, you know, our informed recommendations. Number two, we might want to schedule closed sessions for the next month in case these come up and we want to talk about them. So we can just have them there if we want to deal with anything like that kind of stuff.
Agreed. Why don't we make a motion right now? Would you like to make a motion that we, the next, why don't we say three meetings, we schedule a closed session for the next three meetings, whether or not we use them all, but at least we'll have them available for that purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
So moved?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any objection to that?
Well, let's get some words.
Yeah,
okay,
I know we need words.
To schedule closed sessions for the next three meetings in case we need them, in case we want to use them.
For matters pertaining to personnel?
Or, you know, that's generally what
I don't think
for.
You have to say in case we need them. You just schedule them.
Yeah.
If we don't need them, we don't go into it.
Well,
right. Well, I mean, the standard thing is in case we deal with personnel, litigation, or proprietary matters. That's the standard language.
Right. That's what we generally use on the other end to explain why we did it. To schedule it, I don't think we necessarily need that. I don't really care. Arpaul, what do you got?
All right, let me get this here. That the next three NFC meetings have executive sessions scheduled. For what boilerplate do we want to put in there?
Possible discussions of personnel, litigation, or proprietary matters. I mean, we may need to review some contracts, for example.
Okay. For possible discussion of personnel, what's the rest?
Litigation or proprietary matters.
I'm going to say take out the or in front of proprietary matters, make it those three items, or any other confidential matters. Just make it a blanket thing that'll cover anything.
Okay, what I have is that the next three NFC meetings have executive, let's put schedule in another place. Means schedule. That the next three NFC meetings schedule executive sessions. Now, we should make sure that doesn't mean the whole thing has to be an executive session.
Correct.
Schedule executive sessions.
In case discussions come up.
What I'm looking for is to make sure that it's obvious to everybody that we're not making the next three meetings pure.
In addition to our regularly scheduled meeting.
In addition to. Okay, let me try this. But for the next three NFC meeting, take that word out, put that in. The next three NFC meetings schedule executive sessions for possible discussion of personnel, litigation, proprietary matters, or any other confidential matters in addition to our regular open meetings.
Good.
Okay. Maybe we put a that back in front. I took the that out. That, the next three NFC. Yeah, okay. It's clunky, but I guess it kind of works.
Kim, with another comment.
Yeah, next.
Hold on. Let's
NFC. That's it. Okay.
Kim,
That the NFC schedule executive sessions for the next three meetings for the possible discussion of personnel, litigation, proprietary matters, or any other confidential matters in addition to our regular open meetings. Sound good?
Fine.
I might just change the word meetings to sessions, but it doesn't matter.
No, that's a different meaning.
Yes.
Under Roberts, sessions and meetings are different things. You want to say meetings.
These are meetings.
We're talking about open and closed sessions, but that's right.
Yeah, I know.
You're talking about sessions in terms of a whole semester, a whole year. I know
it can be confusing when you use it that way because, yeah, that's just life. You have to have your finger on exactly which thing you mean. But a session can include several meetings.
Right.
So we want to talk about the next three meetings.
Very good.
Okay,
do you want to give it one final read, or does everybody understand?
Up to people.
Yes. No, let's any objections? Please.
Kim, you had asked for the floor. Do you want to give that up?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. Are there any objections to this motion as read? Hearing none, we're good. Thank you, R. Paul. And now, here I go again. Now, Julia, I think you can go ahead with your report on the May and June financials, if you're ready. And thank you. I know you were working on that quite a bit, especially right up till today.
James, can I inquire about something? This is Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yes.
Go ahead, Chris.
Might I suggest that we combine the two financial reports? I doubt we'll have separate questions on them, and the more recent one is maybe more relevant so that we can discuss them as a pair.
I had anticipated Julia doing that, and if she wishes, and I was assuming she would, I'll ask her to go ahead and do that.
Okay, thanks.
My notes are mostly a May-June combination.
Good question, Chris. Thank you. Go ahead, Julia.
I want to make sure everybody's had time to pull up the consolidated June statement that I sent out earlier today. Give everybody a second.
I got it open.
Okay. All right. I'm going to start out on the summary tab. And please forgive me. I've got a frog in my throat. So, again, what I'm talking about is really trying to kind of play in June in together and really focus on the year-to-date and not really down too much the weeds. I did put a couple of notes in the email that I sent out to you, and so I really focus on the summary tab, and then as I go through my notes, and then we can dive into the individual tabs should people have more specific questions or should we get to something that I feel like we need to hop over there. So, and it's just too, it's in combination as we're talking about transition. I think most people knew I had intended on trying to get these out yesterday, but I ran into something where you try to plug all the holes and make sure people know what you're doing, that you're getting financials out. And I had the holes that I knew to anticipate plugged. But then when I ran the financials yesterday, I realized that two other holes had sprung up and information was not there. Fortunately, the staff was very responsive and worked on it last night and got the rest of the information in. So I was able to get them out this morning. But it's just how it goes. So let's start out with, it's been a rough couple of years. It's continued to be a rough couple of months. And I know that I think I saw some email that had mentioned that it wasn't very hopeful. And so I don't mean to come across as not hopeful. I'm just trying to be very honest about where we are. And I don't think that I need to sugarcoat anything. And I want to make sure that people really understand where the tough spots are. And so one thing in looking at this, if you look at KPFA, I'm looking at the June summary tab up at the top left corner, that KPFA number of down 38% is actually incorrect. if we looked over at the KPFA tab, and this is something that happened since May, this has not been a long-term error, it's the year-to-date number for fiscal year 21 is incorrect. It's going to be corrected during the audit. The adjustments are already there. It's just when all of the accruals were reversed and re-entered in May, some of the accruals that had been there for revenue throughout the year were not reversed. And it wasn't caught until after we had sent the trial balance to the auditor. So not to get too specific about how all that works, but once you send the trial balance to the auditor, you can't be going in and making adjustments. So we just submitted those as provided by client adjustments that, hey, these didn't happen to get handled before we sent this to you. So instead of being down 38%, KPFA revenue is essentially flat for the year. And we'll be able to go into more details about that once we finish the audit and have that that information more clear should people have questions. It's essentially flat year to date. Did I hear somebody have a question? No? Okay. Again, expenses up about 2%. That's sort of spread evenly. They have had some legal fees this year that they've had to pick up, things like that. KPFK raised $307,000 during May and June versus about $414,000 in the prior year. I just want to say that, you know, May and June were very stressful months in particular for KPFK staff. The leadership changes, and they also had some board operators leave over the past few months. You know, the air conditioning's not working in some spots. You know, it's just, they've got a lot going on, and they know that the cash situation is ugly. And so I do want to give them credit for bringing it to the table and trying to do what they could in May and June. Ali has, is really stepping up to the plate as the on-site person who's trying to manage the day-to-day with everything going on there. And I know it's hard when you see these numbers and you think, oh, we raised $307,000 in 2 months. But unfortunately, that is insufficient to cover their monthly expenses. And so, you know, they are not out of the situation of having to be in nonstop fundraising mode. And that is going to be the challenge over the next few months. We did not have a drive in July. And so cash is down to about $9,000. I think it's less than $10,000 right now. They did have, today is the 63rd anniversary of the station. And so they started a drive. I believe it's today through Sunday, in the hopes of raising $63,000. When I checked earlier, no funds had come in yet. But hopefully we'll see a change in that. The next few days it's going to be very important for them. The hope was that this, fund drive to just have to celebrate the anniversary would be enough to keep them from having to have a full-blown August fund drive. Because obviously, listeners get wary. They're not going to give every single month and with the thank you for the premiums and all that. So it's a challenging place to be in. But I talked to Stephanie today, and it sounds like the staff there are putting plans together to kind of see what August is going to look like fund drive-wise. If they don't, it's going to be a day-by-day situation as far as cash goes. The KPFT listener support for May and June was down 40%. They did receive a really nice grant/major gift that's related to some tower activity. I think it's equipment. The larger part of it is very tower specific as far as equipment and setup and that type of thing. And then there's another gift that is related more to programming and, you know, funding the tower rent and things like that. All of those funds are restricted and make up all of their cash right now. You know, I'm not sure to what degree everyone understands what restricted cash is, but it probably is not much of a stretch to figure out what it means just by the term restricted. It is only to be used for the purpose that the donor requested it to be used for, and shouldn't be used for payroll or health insurance or paying other bills. So hopefully KPST is going to be doing something in August. It's my understanding, I've heard a couple of things. One, that there's a capital campaign that is potentially starting soon to help finish the build out of the station so that they can get in there and get it fully operating. The other is that there is some type of partial capital regular fund drive that would occur in August. I believe that they've had about $10,000 worth of deposits in in July. So that explains why the only cash that is available now is the restricted funds. You know, those funds could be paid. You can pay yourself back, but you don't want to get in a habit of using restricted funds for activities that those funds were not meant to be used for. And that can be seen in an audit. They can look and see what the dates are of a gift, and look at your cash balance and know if you're using restricted funds for activities that don't apply to the restriction. WBAI, you know, they have a different model where they can fundraise throughout the year instead of the quarterly basis. And they had a tough May and June. Was not as strong as it was the prior year. It was down for both months, and then compounded. If you're looking from last year to this year, they did have a very large gift last year that I think was a bequest. Whatever it was $200,000, and they did not receive that this year. So, of course, that is going to make your that's hard to recover from if you don't have something like that to to match with. They do have several gifts that are outstanding that have just been taking forever to come in, nowhere near $200,000 is my understanding, but I know that some are, around 10. I mean, I would think it would be, my computer just went to sleep. It's $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 probably. We're just hoping we can get it in before the end of the year. WPFW, they were supposed to have a fund drive in May. They have some things going on where they're trying to change their fundraising model there and really focus more on, how can I think of the word, actual giving donor support rather than the smaller type of gifts, where there's always a place for the smaller gifts, but they're really trying to beef up their donor retention's not the right word, but you know what I'm getting. Oh shoot, Stephanie, what's the word I'm looking for? Working with their donors. Anyway,
outreach development.
They're doing an entire. Putting them through the pipeline, stewardship, cultivation.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, stewardship and cultivation.
Yes.
That takes time. And so they still, with the delayed start in the fund drive, they they exceeded the prior May and June of 2021. They did have a good amount of gifts coming in. One of the LFC board members is helping them with this kind of side, really focusing on major gifts, unrestricted, And so, you know, there's always tension with that as far as, oh, do we or do we not? Do we give up on the fund drive? There's supposed to be a fund drive in August. My understanding, I do not know that a decision has been made, but it's my understanding that there's a desire to forego the August fund drive and really focus on this donor cultivation and fundraising plan. My only concern with that is that, you know, it takes time for a lot of that to develop and to convert into actual cash in the door. So they've got some decisions that they're going to be making there in the next few days. Nick actually has a budget meeting tonight, unfortunately, so he's not here to comment on that.